You know, this summer, I am imposing upon your kindness by preaching sermons that eventually will end up as chapters in a book I'm writing. And the subject of the book is this. I'm writing about what it means to be a thoughtful Christian. And here's my writing process. On Sunday, I preach a sermon. And then for the rest of the week, I get up early and work on the sermon, trying to revise it into a chapter in the morning's wee hours. I've never written like this before, and so far I have not yet completed the process of turning a single sermon into a book chapter. But I have made progress. In fact, I have about a third of a very rough manuscript completed, and so I'm grateful for your help in letting me preach this book to you. Well, because I'm writing a book on what it means to be a thoughtful Christian, at some point, I have to address a few issues that may seem mind-numbingly basic. Like today, for example, when the subject of my sermon and eventually one of the chapters of my book is this: thoughtful Christians must love learning. And by learning, I mean that progression that begins with curiosity and goes through the process of gathering information and attaining knowledge, and then ultimately it leads to wisdom. And the idea that Christians should learn, should be curious, should gather information, should gain knowledge and attain wisdom, this may seem entirely self-evident and obvious. After all, the Bible, in the passage that Gene just read to us, speaks of wisdom, that goal of learning. It speaks of it as the first thing God created and the means by which everything else is created. Wisdom is personified as the highest goal to which a human can aspire. And the path to wisdom, that curiosity, the gathering of information, the attainment of knowledge, and finally achieving wisdom, that's all laid out for us and recommended for us in fairly straightforward poetry here in the book of Proverbs. And according to the New Testament, the first words of the gospel according to John say, "In the beginning was the Word," which is another way of saying, in the beginning was wisdom. And the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God. The ancient Hebrew writer of the book of Proverbs imagined wisdom as a child, a girl playing on God's workbench, inspiring God and working with God to create the world. The Greco-Roman Jewish Christian writer of John's gospel took it a step further by saying that wisdom, the firstborn child of God through whom everything was made, wasn't just like God, but was God. So it makes sense that Christians should love learning and desire wisdom. And in the almost 2,000 years since the author of John gave wisdom a promotion, upgrading her from God's firstborn to God, God's self, the Christian church has had a mixed record when it comes to learning and being wise. But from time to time, we have shown ourselves capable of the kind of learning that leads to wisdom. We have founded some of the world's most important universities. We've preserved and copied manuscripts before we invented movable type, an innovation that made learning available to a much wider swath of humanity. We sculpted, we painted, we made music, we wrote great poetry and novels and plays. We founded hospitals and discovered new ways to heal people. Learning is in our spiritual DNA. So, why should Christians need to be reminded of the importance of learning, the importance of being curious, of discovering new information, attaining knowledge, and becoming wise? Why do we need the reminder? Truly, I wish this was a sermon that didn't need to be preached, a chapter in my book that didn't need to be written. But I think each of us probably understands that all too often the followers of Jesus are not known by their overabundance of wisdom or by their commitment to learning. I'm not talking about anyone in this room, by the way. This is other people. But I find, and maybe you feel this way too, I find when I interact with my fellow Christians, when I talk to folks, when I argue with my friends on social media, When I read what Christians are writing or when I hear what they are saying from their pulpits, I am, with regrettable regularity, overcome with the dumb chills. Far too many of my co-religionists lack even the most basic curiosity. Curiosity that might inspire them to question their assumptions. They don't ask, for example, why a scientist might have a problem reading the first chapter of Genesis as a textbook. They assume Muslims are evil terrorists without taking time to explore Islam or to meet their neighbors who pray facing Mecca. They don't want to pay for health insurance plans that cover IUDs because they believe those devices induce abortions by preventing fertilized eggs to implant in the womb. But they don't think through the implications of that belief in light of science, which tells us that most fertilized eggs don't implant anyway. Nor do they take time to inquire about why a woman might not like her boss or her government deciding what kinds of birth control she can use. And by the way, big business loves the Christian lack of curiosity and all of the ways so many of us consider suspect the work of science and other ways of gathering empirical data. Those corporations who get rich by getting us to burn fossil fuels, they have done a great job of harnessing the Christian disinclination to learn in ways that lead to wisdom. They've used the Christian suspicion of science rooted in the Christian rejection of evolution to gain political support for the notion that global warming is some kind of communist plot. A similar Christian disregard for economic learning has provided political cover to Wall Street power brokers as they've convinced us that debt is the path to prosperity and that whatever is good for General Motors is good for America. It is worth noting that our Protestant forebears considered learning to be more than just a pleasant thing to do if you happen to have time and inclination. Rather, people like John Calvin and John Knox considered learning to be among the most basic of Christian obligations. The Reformers believed that all truth leads to God. And for that reason, any truth learned is useful, good, and godly. In fact, if you want to find out where our branch of Protestantism began, you really shouldn't just look to John Calvin, that pastor in Geneva, but you should look to John Calvin, the student at the Sorbonne in Paris, who gathered with friends, fellow students and academics and free thinkers. They all gathered together in the salon of Marguerite de Navarre, the sister of the King of France. Marguerite de Navarre was among the most influential intellectuals in Europe during the 16th century. She was a poet and a playwright, a diplomat, and she was someone who gathered unto herself a remarkable collection of brilliant people, including both John Calvin and Francois Rabelais, which is amazing. She, more than anyone else in her time, embodied the kind of thoughtful learning that leads to great wisdom. And it was her thoughtfulness, her learning, that inspired the men who usually get credit for starting the branch of Christianity out of which the Presbyterian Church was born. Though Marguerite remained Catholic, the Calvinist branch of the Reformation was born in her living room. And with her encouragement, Calvin reformed Geneva and from there inspired the Reformation of Scotland, the Netherlands, much of England and Germany, Hungary, parts of France and Italy as well. And then Calvin's followers in Scotland, inspired indirectly by Marguerite, started schools in every neighborhood of every Scottish city, in every Scottish town and village. As a result, Scotland became the most literate nation in the world. And then Scottish Presbyterians in North America founded more than 100 colleges and universities. Dearly beloved, as Presbyterians and as heirs to the wisdom of Marguerite de Navarre, we are inheritors of a legacy of learning. And we need to keep learning. We need to remain curious. We need to gain knowledge. We need to keep seeking wisdom. For learning is a spiritual discipline that points us to God. And if we look around us, we also will see that learning is a moral obligation. For if there is one virtue separating us from the craziest of religious fanatics, it is wisdom. I doubt any Christian thinks of committing violence in the name of God who is curious about how such violence might affect its victims. And I suspect that anyone who has taken time to gain knowledge about new ideas and about different cultures, that person will find herself unwilling to do stuff like bomb abortion clinics or torment immigrant children or hate Muslims and Jews. And when our curiosity leads to knowledge, and when our knowledge leads to wisdom, then we will be living in the beloved community that is the kingdom of God. And with our thoughtfulness and with our wisdom, we will be making the world a better place, a safer place for all God's children. Amen.